Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today.
Lord, this morning, as we gather as one to praise your name, we're reminded of the cost that you paid, how you died for our sins, Lord. And this morning, we know that whatever we're going through, maybe it's a physical illness, maybe it's a spiritual illness, Lord, but you are right there. You're reaching out to us. In us as believers, we just want to praise your name in the midst of it, in the middle of it, Lord. As we sang in the earlier song, yes, I will. I'll lift you high even when things are not going the way that we planned, Lord. We know that you're there to be our healer, to be our comfort, to be our rock, Lord. So this morning as we dive into your word and look to hear from you through Galen's, what you brought on Galen's heart to speak to us this morning, I pray that we can just be in tune with what you want to have to say, that our hearts and our ears are open to be receptive to that word, Lord, that we can praise you in the middle of whatever we're going through, that we know that you're right there beside us. Lord, we just give you all the praise. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat this morning.
Hey, can we thank our worship team for leading us this morning? Thank you, guys. Yeah. Well, my name is Galen. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm very excited to share with you today as we begin a new series called Songs for the Road. To be honest, before I jump into the message, we didn't plan this week in our worship planning meeting, but I just felt going into this weekend, I started feeling it and I felt it again this morning. I think it would be appropriate for us as a church just to pause and pray for a moment. I know we just prayed, but my heart comes into worship today a little heavy. I've been thinking through, obviously this last week was the election, and I got to see lots of posts and comments and thoughts and opinions on social media, especially in the last 2 days. And I don't know when you read those things, what it does for you. For me, it saddens me. We are a nation that is kind of divided and hurt. And specifically, I think we need to be reminded as Jesus followers, and I would say this no matter what the outcome was. I think what God was reminding me this week is that governments may come and go. In preparation for this message, I was reminded even thousands of years ago, it was Babylon and Egypt and Rome and Europe through the centuries, and governments come and go. And this last week, we didn't elect a savior, we elect a president. But as Christians, we already have a savior. And because of that, we already have a hope. We can already have security and peace within our soul. No matter what happens in this world, we will be okay because we already had a Savior anyway. And I think that that is good to be reminded of. But secondly, this week, I was thinking through and talking with people of our congregation a lot closer to home that either have COVID or the fear of, they think they might have it. And my heart was saddened for them, for their families, for maybe kids or their parents, those that are seniors. So I think it'd be appropriate, just before we get into the message, if we as a church just pause to pray for a moment. And I don't simply want to pray for us. I would invite you to pray at the same time that I am praying. If you know someone who is sick or who is worried or anxious, spend this time and pray for them. And let's pray also for our country as well. Join me in prayer. God, we pause for just a moment to lift up the prayers of the church. God, I think of people in this church that are home today, gathered with us, but online, because they are sick or because they are quarantined. God, this morning, would you let them know that your heart goes out to them? I think of the Psalms. It says, you are close to those who are brokenhearted. You are close to those who are crushed in spirit. God, this morning for them, for those of our church, and for those that may be joining online that are not yet a part of our church, would you comfort them with your presence? Would you help them? Would you heal them? Would you take away their fear, anxiety, and worry, and instead give them your powerful presence of peace to be with them today? Would you help them? And God, for us, in our response to living in this nation, in these days as your followers, give us a peace of heart and mind to know that there is the unshakable kingdom of God, as Brian talked about last week, and that we will serve you and follow you no matter what happens, and that you truly are the hope of the world. So God, once again, we commit our allegiance to you as we follow you, and help us to respond in love and in grace as I believe that you would respond to others as well. God, in these moments, as we hear your scripture, as we hear your stories, as we hear your words, may you speak to us today what we need to hear. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. So today, as we jump into this series, Songs for the Road, as Pastor Adam mentioned, we're going to be looking at a few different songs, songs that I want to give you, that may be songs that would help you on your journey. Before I do, I want to ask you, maybe what is some of your favorite songs? Do you have a favorite playlist? Maybe when you get in the car and you know you've got a 20-minute drive, what do you play? Or when you are working out, what is your go-to playlist? What is a favorite song that you love? This week, I started looking up what would be favorite songs of decades, 10 years at a time. What songs did people love and enjoy that would say, out of 10 years, this was the most popular and favorite song? And I started doing some research. I'm not sure this thing is going to work, guys. If you could go ahead and go to the next one for me. Maybe. From the 1930s, 1939, the artist Judy Garland sang Over the Rainbow, if you remember that song. Most popular one of that decade. From the 40s, we had Bing Crosby singing White Christmas. Phil was singing it this morning in the pre-service show. This is crazy to me. Was that 78, 68? My math is failing me right now. 78 years later, and you hear a few words, and all of a sudden you're brought back to Christmas. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. In the 50s, it was Bill Haley in the Comets, Rock Around the Clock. Church, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know this song. Is that bad? Oh, no. That was 70, 65 years ago. Have a little grace for me, please. Honestly, 50s and 60s, right, was Elvis's reign, right? So I thought I'd see Elvis in here, but it's not. And then the 60s, it's okay if it's not Elvis because it's the Beatles, right? Hey Jude. In the 70s, Stayin' Alive. And I do hear this one sung from time to time. In the 80s, it was Pink Floyd. I'm going to be honest, I don't know the song either. Please forgive me. In the 90s, it was Bryan Adams. Everything I do it for you. That's right. In the 2000s, when apparently baggy pants and questionable hats were cool, it was Usher singing Yeah. If you remember, some of you, yeah. Somebody's got a great laugh. I don't know where it is. Maybe it's you, Dave. I hear you. In 2011, it was Rihanna and Calvin Harris. We Found Love. And in 2020, the most popular song was actually sang by Reverend Philip Dean Kazee's favorite musician of all time, Justin Bieber. Yes. So let me ask you, what song has been an important one to you? Maybe it's a song when you hear it, it takes you back to a certain place. Reminds you of a simpler time or a simpler place. Reminds you of a relationship or a car that you were driving. What's an important song for you? Here's what I know. Songs and music have power, permanence, and influence. Music has the power to shape, to instruct, and to direct us. Music changes mindsets, emotions, and music changes culture. One song might be connected to an entire season of your life. A rhythm or a rhyme is connected to a romance. Maybe a melody is connected to a memory. It's interesting. We actually remember things better when we sing them. If you're anything like me, I'm a forgetful person most of the time. And I actually Googled one day, how do I like remember things better? My phone and my keys, I really never know where they're at any given point. It's funny, in the office they laugh at me because I'm always getting locked out. I never know where they are. So I Googled this, and I read this article on neurology. And it says, if you want to remember something, this is a helpful tip, repeat it over and over and over again, and say it out loud. There is power by saying something out loud. And then it struck me, what we do in a Christian worship service, we sing, we say things out loud, and we repeat them. A chorus of a song, we'll sing three or four times and one singing of a song. And that is why we remember music. When we sing in the church, we are singing, we're declaring, this is our faith, this is what we believe, and we remember it in our song. And it's interesting, the songs we sing, they affect us more than we realize. Implicitly or explicitly, we begin to believe the messages of what we hear. I remember part of my own story. When I first accepted Jesus, I walked out of church. I was on fire. I was like, I'm going to live for Jesus. I want God to change my life. This is going to be amazing. But I didn't really know how to go forward or like what's a practical next step in my journey with Jesus like we offer here at the church. I didn't know. And so I get in my car with my girlfriend, now wife, Justine, and we turn on the Christian radio, and it says, K-Love, take our 30-day challenge. Listen to nothing but Christian music for 30 days and see if it'll change your life. And I was like, Justine, we're doing it. We're going to listen to nothing but Christian music. You don't have a choice. You're doing this with me. And she was like, okay. So we took this little challenge. And here's what I noticed, and I'm not making this up. This was very true. There's a massive world of difference from listening to Eminem for 30 days, if you know who that is, and Elevation Worship. Massive difference between pop, hip-hop of what's popular in the day and Hillsong worship. It's drastically different. And in this 30-day period, I actually like stopped cussing by accident. I stopped hearing it so much. I stopped hearing it in the world around me. And so I just stopped repeating it and saying it. I actually began to stop objectifying women because I stopped hearing different ideas of how to do it. And at the end of the 30 days, I was like, something's different. I feel better. And this is what I realized. You ever have that moment like when your mind goes blank and then all of a sudden a song pops in? You start humming and singing, or maybe in your head if you're not comfortable singing out loud. I used to have lyrics that were teaching me one thing pop in my head. And then all of a sudden I had lyrics that were teaching me something drastically different pop into my head. And then I began to realize maybe that's why I have increasing amounts of joy and peace in my life, because God's truth is on replay in my head. I think we need to take a look at the things that we listen to and maybe look and see the effect that they are having in our life. Colossians 3:16 says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God." I love this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Teach and then sing. Christians throughout history, teach and singing, they often go together just as they do today. But sometimes we fail to realize that sometimes the teaching actually also happens in the singing. Or I guess I'd ask it another way. I shouldn't ask this question, but I'm going to. How much of a 35-minute sermon do you remember 7 days later? And please don't answer that. It'll hurt my ego. How much do you remember? But how many lyrics of your favorite song could you recall right now? Probably all of them. I'd say it this way. In the church, a song is a sermon that you can remember. It teaches you something, and you can take it with you. And in this series, we want to give you a few songs for the road. A lot of us have these songs that Phil was singing that you recognized in the pre-service show, or great hymns of the faith that maybe you already know. So in this series, I maybe want to give you a few new ones, songs that could become songs for your road, songs that you can sing out and declare and will help you as you travel down life's road. So today, we're going to talk about this song that we just sang, Another in the Fire, by Hillsong United in 2019. The lyrics, I think you grabbed on the way in, or if you're watching online, in the chat window, the host put a link there, and you can view them or Google them if you want to. I'm going to be talking a little about the lyrics and then the story that they come from. And the text for the tune this week is found in Daniel chapter 3. I love this story. Some of you, it may be familiar. Some of you may have never heard it before. But in our story, there's three main characters: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They have very funny names. They were renamed. And they're living in Babylon. The other character, the evil character in this story, is the evil king Nebuchadnezzar. And these, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are not Babylonians. They did not grow up here. Instead, they are Israelites. They are God's people, but they're not living in God's kingdom. They were dragged away, kidnapped, exiled from their homeland to be in this foreign world. And they are forced to work for this king. And if you were to look just before Daniel 3, if you go back to Daniel 2, the king has just learned one day his power is going to be stripped away from him, and the imagery that is given is a statue. So in Daniel 3, he says, I'm going to prove to the world that I am not only king, but I am a god as well. So I'm going to build a 90-foot gold statue of myself. And there's going to be lots of musical instruments. They have funny names if you read the text in Daniel 2. And whenever these instruments are played, whenever you hear this song, then you have to bow and worship me, my statue, as God. Now, it's interesting, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're willing to live in the world, but not of the world. They can work for this evil king, but where they draw the line is their worship. We can live in the world and function as other people do and live rightly and love mercy and be just, but where we draw the line is what we worship. And so when they hear the musical instruments, everyone bows down to worship the king, and instead they stand. We can't bow to this king. So they're brought before the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, what are you doing? If you don't bow and worship this statue, I have a fiery furnace. And if you don't bow this next time when it happens, I'm going to throw you into the flames and you will die. And then the king asks this question. He says, and then what god will be able to rescue you from my power? He said, I am a god. You think there's some other god that will be able to save you? And this is about my power. Is there some other god that is able to save, to rescue, to have power? I don't think so. And what's interesting, if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what you need to know about them, living as God's people, is that one of the central stories that would have defined their childhood, defined their faith, defined who they are as a people, is found in Exodus 14. The grand story of the Israelite people is that one time we were living as slaves. There was another evil king, and his name was Pharaoh. And we had to work for him. But then one day God showed up and sent Moses, and he led us away from the king. He sent plagues. He led us away from there. And even when our back was against the wall, against the water, and we thought we were going to die, God parted the Red Sea. And as he parts the Red Sea, God's people walk through on dry ground. But the evil king Pharaoh and his armies come running after them to destroy them and to take them captive again. But when God's people are safely on one side, God crashes the waves back on the evil king. And God's people are saved because God is a God who can save, and he is a God who is powerful. And then he leads his people to this promised land, a beautiful land flowing with milk and honey and every good thing that you can imagine. This is the story that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have in their mind. They begin to look at their own situation. We were kidnapped. We were dragged away into this foreign land, but we know that our God is able to save, and there will be a promised land on the other side of this as well. So their response to this question, and then what God will be able to save you and rescue you from my power, is this. I love this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. And then they go on and say this, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up, even if he doesn't. So what happens in the story? King Nebuchadnezzar gets mad. He says, no one questions my authority. No one questions if I'm king. No one questions if I'm a god. You're going into the furnace. He heats it up 7 times hotter. Even some of his own officials die because the flames are so hot. So they tied these three up and threw them into the furnace. Fully dressed, and their pants, their turbans, their robes, and other garments because, you know, the fire needed more fuel apparently. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. I have to pause this story real fast because most of you in the room at least probably know how this story ends. And so we think, oh, it'll be okay because I know what's coming next. But I just want to stop for a second. What if this was the end of their story? I would say that we must ask the question, where's God in the midst of this story? Think about it. If you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we've been kidnapped. We've been dragged from our homeland. Where's God? We've had to learn a new culture, a new language, new positions. We've even been renamed. Where's God in the midst of this? We even stood up for God. I won't worship this other thing. God, I'm doing what you want, and somehow you are still not here, and I'm about to die for it. God, where are you? I would say for us today, maybe we've asked the same question before or today or one day we might. God, where are you? I feel like a lot of people have been praying for COVID to go away. God, where are you? People at work are tearing me down. God, where are you? I ask for help, but you don't seem to answer. Where are you? My family needs help. Where are you? Finally, you might say, God, I don't feel you near. I feel like I'm drowning. Walls are closing in. I'm walking through fire, and I'm questioning, where are you? And if that's you today, I could give you an answer, but I'd rather you read from the text today the answer that happens. Suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace? Well, yes, your majesty, we certainly did, they replied. Well, look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see 4 men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the 4th looks like a god. He said, what god's going to be able to save you? Well, there's a 4th that's in the fire, and he appears to look like a god. The text isn't clear. Is this Jesus before his time? Is this the Holy Spirit in a person form? It doesn't say, but it is obviously a divine power. It is the divine presence of God that stands with him in the midst of the flame. And this story from thousands of years ago, this is where it meets us today. If we've ever asked, when we're under fire, where is God? We have this story to lean on and say, God is with us as we walk through fire. He was faithful then, he's faithful now, and he will forever be faithful. We've never been alone. From the Old Testament to the end of the Bible, there is one theme and testimony we can hold on to. God is with us. I even think when Jesus is born, Matthew chapter 1:23, they say his name will be Jesus. He'll be called Emmanuel. I want you to think about this story. The God is able to save, and even if he doesn't, he'll be with us. Think about this. Jesus' name, because names have meaning, Jesus is Yeshua, which is similar to Joshua, which means the God who saves. And similarly, he'll be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is who we love and serve. This Jesus is with us. And remember, Jesus' very last words recorded, this brings me comfort many times, Jesus' very last words recorded in Matthew is this, remember, because sometimes we need to remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now God's Spirit is with us, and Jesus' presence, the Spirit that was within Jesus, is with us today, and he is with us. Sometimes we just need to be reminded, even if I don't see him, even if I don't feel him, even if my circumstances would say otherwise, God is with me in the fire. Friends, an unanswered prayer doesn't mean that God doesn't love me or see me or care for me. My circumstances don't change God's goodness. I want us to be a people that say, my feelings don't define my faith, because God is faithful and he is with me. And I would also say this, living in your situation, living in the midst of it without seeing a resolution, without seeing an answer, is okay. It's okay to be a Christian who has doubts. It's okay to be a Christian that wonders and does ask the question, God, where are you? But here's what I would also say to you. Living in the in-between and waiting does not stop true things from being true. My mentor says it this way, never doubt in the dark what you knew to be true in the light. on your best day, when things are going well, you see God showing up, answering prayers, everything seems to be lining up for you in life, you would say, God loves me. God is with me. God can work out anything for his good. He can take any circumstance and do what he wants with it. God is good. So on our darkest days, do those things change? I would say they don't. God is still good. He's still with you. He still cares for you. He can still use any circumstance, Romans 8:28, and work it out for your good. We simply have to trust and know it to be true. If you look at the lyrics of this song, and you look at the chorus of the song, Another in the Fire, there's something interesting that you may notice. A lot of songs, the chorus is the exact same every time you see it. But in this one, you see different tenses of the word. In the first chorus we read, we sing, there was another in the fire. In the second one we sing, there is another in the fire. And the third one we sing, there will be another in the fire. The point that we need to embrace that is difficult to hear sometimes is not ultimately that we get what we want and answer to prayer or that healing comes or we have more comfort or we have more safety. The point is that God is with us, and that changes everything. This is the God of the resurrection, the God that created millions of galaxies in the world bigger than we can even imagine. This is the God that creates with his breath. And if he is with us, the words of the song we sang earlier, then what could ever stand against us? His presence is the point that we need to embrace. God is with us wherever or however we are. I love this from Isaiah 43, where I believe a lot of the inspiration for this song came from. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. So the story doesn't end. The four guys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and the divine presence are in the fire together, and then something amazing happens. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego step out of the fire. Picture it with me. If you could be a fly on the wall in that room, what do you think the king would do in this moment? You just threw these three guys in the fire, and they walk back out of fire. What would you do? For me, I picture the king like on his knees, and he actually exclaims when they walk out. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent this angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command when they were willing to die rather than to serve or worship any god except their own." And he answers his own question. What was the question in the beginning? What god is there that could save you? He says, "There is no other god who can rescue like this." Even the king's confession is there is no other God but this. If you look at verse 3, the lyrics of this song, I love this. There is no other name than the name of Jesus, the one who saves and the one that is with us. He who was, he who still is, and he who will be through it all. So come what may, I know I will never be alone. Today, I want to give you two hard challenges from this story. And I believe that they are hard, and I believe that they are challenges. The first is this. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves. If we're thrown into the fire, the God who we serve is able to save us." The first challenge today is simply this. Can you believe that God is able to save? Maybe if you're watching online, you're joining us online for the very first time, or you're here in the room, and you say, "I don't have a relationship with God, but I need someone who can save me. Even if it's from the things in your life, I need someone who can save my marriage. I need someone who can help and save my kids. I need someone to pull me out of this addiction. I need help in being saved." Could you believe that this is the God, he has been from Exodus to this story in Daniel and throughout scripture and throughout time, the God who can save? And he's not done just with your external things, but the God that can save your heart, your soul. In the lyrics of this song, "There was a cross that bears a burden where another died for me. Should I ever need reminding what power has set me free? There is a grave that holds no body, and now that power lives in me." If you want to experience the power of Jesus and live life the way you were designed to live, we have to turn to the God who saves, to surrender and admit, "God, I haven't been living my life for you, but now I want to turn to you. Save me and help me live for you. Pull me out of this fire." the lyrics to this song. All my debt left for dead beneath the water. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. If you want to walk away from slavery, see God save you, and then experience the promised land, turn to Jesus. And secondly, for maybe those of us that are already following Jesus, the scripture, but even if he doesn't, we make it clear to you, your majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. This is a challenge, maybe one of the hardest things I've ever asked people to consider. Could you trust God, even if the answer sometimes is no? If God doesn't show up in the way that you want him to, could you say, God, even now, I trust you. Even if I still trust you. Could you say, my faith is not based on my happiness. My faith isn't based on success. My faith isn't based on how much comfort I do or do not have. My faith isn't shaken by my circumstances, because my faith is in the God of hope and of resurrection that can change and bring about new life to even to this. Job's prayer in Job 13:15 is a model for us. It's bold. God, even if you slay me, even then, I choose to trust you. Could we have that kind of faith? Here's what I also know. If you're walking through fire right now, some of you are not yet, but we need to remember this for the time where we are. If you're walking through fire right now, and I would encourage you to remember today that your fire will not last forever. Think about it this way. There was the Red Sea, but then there was the Promised Land. There was the three in the fire, but then there was life afterward with a king's confession that God is king. Maybe today what you're walking through, there will be something good that can come out of this. Psalm 66 says, we went through fire and water, but God, you have now brought us to a place of abundance. Friends, death is always followed by resurrection. And because we know this, we can say with confidence, even if he doesn't rescue us now, one day, he will. At the end of time, God comes back to wipe away every tear from our eyes, to sit on the throne, to rule with justice and mercy and set the world to rights, and he will right every single wrong. So we can say, because we know what has been, what will be, we can say now, even if he doesn't, one day he will. So even if I die in the fire, God will vindicate me. So I will not bow to the things of this world. I don't need to have fear, anxiety, or worry. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. We don't need to experience it because we trust in the God who will make everything right. Even if things get worse, even if my business goes under, even if my life is chaotic, even if God doesn't answer the prayer, even if I lose the battle of the sickness, even if my life goes, there is a living God of resurrection that stands with me. Our attitude is this: even if my heart stops beating and even if my lungs give out, I choose to praise him. Because one day the heartbeat, the loving heartbeat of God will never stop. He will raise me from the dead. He will breathe new life into me, and I'll be with him forever, starting now and into eternity. So we have confidence and hope. Our attitude and our battle cry should be, come what may, I know that I will never be alone. My favorite lines of this song, and I want to give this in closing a little bit, is the bridge. And it says, I can see the light in the darkness, in the midst of dark times, in the midst of whatever I'm going through, I can see the light. And then the next phrase, and I see the darkness bow to him. Even right now, if the darkness is asking me to bow to it, I can hold out hope that God is real, God is faithful, God is loving, he is merciful, and he is just. So one day, this darkness will bow to him. I can hear the roar in the heavens because God is the God of angel armies who's coming to my side to defend me. And the space between us, if God feels like he is a long way off, it wears thin because he is coming. I can feel the ground shake beneath us. In Jesus' resurrection, you know what happened? There was an earthquake because of his power. I feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. You remember Paul and Silas in Acts. They're in prison. It's a dark place. God breaks them out of prison, and nothing stands between us. God is not a long way off. God is near. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He stands near to us. So I know that I will never be alone. Friends, today, I don't know what you're dealing with, but here's what I want you to know. No matter what you are facing, you are not alone. The God that has been faithful is faithful and will forever be faithful. God sees where you are and he cares for you. And he will help you fight even when you can't fight for yourself. Trust and believe that the Lord is good and that he is with you. Would you pray with me today? God, we come to you humbled in light of this story. That even though you are the creator God who's made everything is so much bigger than we can comprehend, you choose to draw near and to love us. God, for those of us today, help us to trust that you are the God who can save. Maybe today, but even eventually in the future, you are the God that will make things right. If there's someone here today that says, I need to trust this God, I need to start out or start over in this relationship with Jesus, in your own words, whatever it would be, would you turn to God and say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me for not living for you. Set me on the right path. Help me to live for you. Save me now. But secondly, for all of us today, God, help us. Give us the courage and the confidence to say, even if I choose to trust you, choose to trust that you are good, that you are near, and that you can work out all things for our good. God, as we sing the words of this song in just a moment, may it be a song that does help us in our on the road of life, helps us in whatever season we're going through right now, to see your power, your closeness, your nearness, and to see that we are never alone. God, would you speak to us through the words of this song? We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. Before we sing today, if you're here and you've made a decision to start out or start over with Jesus, if you're watching online, you can click the link in the chat window. But if you're here in person, I would love to talk with you after the service. If you don't want to talk to a person, you can text in C1 Decision to the number. But let us know how we can help you on your journey with Jesus. And I would remind you, if you're here today and you say, I don't know if God is with me, I would still encourage you to sing this song. Sometimes confession comes before belief. Could you sing and then choose to believe that God is near and you're not alone? Would you stand with me and let's sing and declare this together today?
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be in this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire. Standing next to me was another in the waters, holding back the sea. Should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free? There's a cross that bears the burden, but another died for me. There is another in the fire.
Time.
other name. There is no other name but the name that is Jesus. He who was and is and will be through it all. So come what may in this space between all the things unseen and this reckoning. I know I will never be alone, 'cause I know.
Thank you for being with us in worship today. I hope today you know, no matter what you are facing, you are not alone. If you're new around here and you're wondering what is my next step here at this church, I would invite you to check out our next steps. Let us know. We'd love to connect with you. Or if you want to give today online, you can do so at the link or our website or in person. There'll be plates as you go today. Today, may you walk in the grace and in the peace of Jesus, knowing that He is with you and you are not alone. Thank you for being here today. You are dismissed.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.